Winter storm warnings and wind chill warnings continue today. Some snow continues for a while this morning, then skies become partly sunny this afternoon. Windy, record cold with a high only in the upper teens. Mostly clear, record cold overnight, near 5. Sunshine but cold Tuesday, upper 20s. Could see more sleet or freezing rain on Wednesday, low 30s. I'm meteorologist Doug Webster, 1620-945 WTAW.
All right, look, just stay the heck inside.
Stay home.
Man, there's just no reason for you to be out. I mean, literally nothing is open, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, people were closing stuff on Friday for Monday.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think if they hadn't yet, it is now.
Okay. Well, that's, now, and the other thing is there are people out there without power right now.
Yes, there are.
There are a lot of rolling blackouts that are going on.
All over the state, but yes, here as well.
Yeah, and, you know, we got to do our part. That's what happens is we have to do our part. And in the story that you did that we had last week where David Worley talked about, they feel like they were in fairly good shape. But the most important thing is if your power has gone out, then you need to turn off a lot of those major things.
Right. The furnaces, the big appliances, things like that, any kind of, you know, heating type unit. And then once the power is restored, he mentioned, you know, leave a light bulb on, something that you know the power comes back on. Obviously, you're like, I'm sure like your microwave will beep back on.
Yep.
But I guess that you might want to turn that one off too. But anyway, once power is restored, then you still want to wait 15 to 30 minutes before turning those electric devices back on, those big things.
Cooling and heating uses up about 47% of the energy in your home, okay? Cooling and heating, 47%. Mm-hmm. So, of course, today we're talking heating. We're learning terms that we haven't learned before, like warming centers. We didn't know what that was before yesterday. Amy Smith's here from Texas A&M at Reed Arena. Amy, how are you this morning?
Howdy. I'm waking up and doing well. We have a warming center, as you called it, set up here at Reed Arena for the community in conjunction with the Red Cross, and we greatly appreciate their help doing so.
So I'm guessing when you came here, you didn't think part of your job description would be sleeping overnight in a basketball arena.
Hey, that's okay. You know, I've been to a rock and back, so I'm ready for whatever my job brings me in communications here, but we were just, as I said, very grateful. We don't have cots here, but we do have blankets that the Red Cross is providing to hand out. We've got water, we've got snacks, and we've got a couple of very, very large conference rooms that have just been renovated for people that want to get out of the cold and escape that and come over here. And we did have some people take advantage of that last night. We'll be here until Thursday at noon.
Carl Mooney, the mayor of College Station, joins us this morning. Good morning, Mayor. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay. How are you?
Okay, so of course the first question I have to ask you is, have you been part of the rolling blackouts?
Yes, unfortunately. and frozen water pipes too.
Oh, so, you got you that know, going hey. On. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's a real joy.
One of the things I'm interested in is, and of course you're not the head of College Station Utilities. You get in that loop, but I know that those people are have a lot of things they have to take care of. One of the things I thought was interesting is that they decided to actually kind of reset and ask people to call back in to start a new list to make sure there wasn't duplication.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the last thing we're trying to do is inconvenience people unnecessarily. I mean, nobody likes the rolling blackouts that we've had to face. But, you know, at the same time, we don't want people to have to deal with it unnecessarily. So we're trying the best we can to manage. You know, we've got feeders that we've got to keep open. A feeder provides electric power to certain areas of town. And so, for example, if you happen to be right next to or near in the neighborhood near St. Joe's Hospital here in College Station or
Scott White.
Scott White, yeah. So your power is likely to stay on.
8:39, where we ask the tough questions, like when the mayor's in, we ask him what his favorite dip is. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Happy to be here talking about Bryan, Texas.
Yeah. Let's go back, and we don't know the numbers yet, certainly, from the weather that we had last week. But basically, it sounds like the infrastructure of the city was able to withstand what went on. And, of course, BTU, which is an entity of the city, certainly there are going to be some expenses, but also this ended up being a situation. All the generation was up and running, and I guess about as good as you could expect under these circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of the citizens in the area who were blacked out, they didn't necessarily know that all of our power generation was up. They didn't know that. You know, and frankly, they probably didn't care whether it was because a tree fell down on a wire, or whether the power plant went down, or whether it was a blackout because the state mandated that we sell a bunch of power back in to keep that grid from going down and collapsing statewide. But as it turns out, you know, for every minute of this week-long storm, all of our power plants were 100% operational, and we've learned since that part of the main problem, it seems, with this was that a ton of traditional gas-fired combustion plants were not winterized properly.
State Representative John Rainey.
I watched some of the hearing on the ERCOT problem, the energy problem, and it's just one of those situations where I don't know that anyone has an exact answer. I think there's plenty of blame to go around. I think maybe one of the first questions we ought to ask is, was there adequate power available with the exception of the blunders that we had? In other words, if could we have done it if we hadn't screwed it up? Did we have enough power? And I think that's a good question. They didn't get too far into it, I don't think, yet. I think that the big question is, what is the PUC going to say? What is the ERCOT going to say? I think those are the areas that need to be looked at, perhaps even more so than the energy companies. We had a significant power outage in 2011, and Lyle Larson, who is the state rep from San Antonio, or one of the state reps from San Antonio, suggested that we needed to do away with PUC because they weren't doing their job. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether that's the answer or not. I think it sure needs to be looked at. There's plenty of blame to go around, but let's try to find an answer to the problem. And I think that that's where those two committees are headed, or the committee is headed, to try to find that. I hope it doesn't get into just a political match. I hope it really digs into the real problem.
Friday, it's time to talk to the folks from the City of College Station. Jay Sokol with us this morning. Hey, Jay.
Hey.
Hey, Jay.
Jay's not here.
I would have been there, but I did what everyone else does. I checked Chelsea's Instagram stories to see if it was safe.
And I said it was great.
Yes. I learned that the roads were pretty good, but the buzzards at the door were a sure sign that I should stay home, so I did.
She has not told that story on the air.
Not on air.
It's a little foreboding.
Yeah, but no, you are correct. There was a buzzard guarding the entrance of our building today. Scared the bejeezies out of me because I was looking down at the ground, focused on not slipping on ice, and he made his presence known by flying right over my head.
All rise for College Station's Place One City Councilman, Bob Brick.
Welcome.
Good morning.
All right, buzzards.
Bricks
don't
have no fear of buzzards.
There you go.
Bricks have no fear.
No fear. Yeah, good for you. Well, personally or just overall, give us your observations over the last week.
Well, the last week has certainly been one for the record books. One lesson that I've taken from this is that I and or the city needs to do a better job, in my view, of helping to communicate with the people out in the community as to what's happening and why and what the schedule, what to expect. If they know what to expect, then it's less anxious.
Here's something you may not know. Thanks to our citizens responding to our call for conserving water this week, College Station's water supply was in good enough shape to where we were able to reach out to Welburn and to the City of Bryan and Texas A&M to see if they needed any assistance with their water supplies. Turns out that they did. So yesterday we were able to provide water to the City of Bryan through an interconnect. So that not only helped their system, but also allowed them to transmit some of that water to Welburn and to Wixom Valley. And we did a similar interconnect transfer of water to A&M earlier in the day, Thursday, to help them out. So it's a really great thing to be able to do to help one another.
Wait. You're telling me that people from Bryan were drinking College Station water? My God. Do we get to break that story here? That's tremendous.